Welcome to Studio 86, in-depth discussions with RIT newsmakers. Come on inside.
Studio 86, special edition.
On the road!
Yes, we are traveling once again. Studio 86, on the road. Mike Soffern of University News with my buddy and colleague from News and Events Managing Editor, Vianna Carvalho.
Good morning, Mike.
And we are at RIT's first Innovation and Creativity Festival. Imagine RIT, the Innovation and Creativity Festival.
And we are actually located in the Xerox WOW Center, also known as the Gordon Field House and Activity Center. It's actually pretty busy, I would say. We've probably had a pretty steady crowd, wouldn't you think?
Absolutely. It's been a great crowd, and the weather's cooperating, too, for those events that are outdoors. The sun is out after kind of a damp start to the morning, but I guess we have the R News weather team to thank for the beautiful weather.
That's right. At one point, I was kind of manning our university news booth here in the corner, and somebody mentioned that there was going to be hail. Well, I can see no sign of hail, so it's good news for everybody that's coming out or is already here.
And we should mention, I mentioned R News because R News is our partner in the University News, our news exhibit, 21st Century News. And what we are showcasing is how we deliver, how you as the listener receive news here in the 21st century. Things have changed quite a bit. We're using the website, of course. We're using podcasts and the blog. But we also have traditional media as well, which, Vianna, you're very familiar with at least one of those publications we have.
That's right. Actually, we've got News and Events out here, and we've got the RIT Alumni Magazine, and everybody's taken them. I mean, we've gone through a bunch of News and Events, and even though a lot of people may have them on campus, they're just grabbing them now, and, you know, even while they're having lunch and everything, they can just take a look and a quick read, and it's a great preview issue of the festival. Everything that's going on here, there's a map included in there, so I think it's a pretty useful piece of information for everybody today.
And, you know, it really is worth mentioning, I think, again, that even though with the digital age, the information age that we live in, and the emphasis so much on new media, website, blogging, podcast, that there still certainly is a place for traditional media. And, of course, we're talking about News and Events, which is our newspaper of record, RIT's newspaper of record, printed publication that comes out about every couple weeks throughout the school year. And we have Alumni Magazine here as well, RIT, the Alumni Magazine. Our buddy Kathy Lindsley serves as the editor of that publication. So, really, even though as we move further into the 21st century, with emphasis on new media, and it's great that we're doing things like podcasting, but still plenty of opportunities for traditional media.
Right. Well, I think a key part of that is that the podcasts and the blogs actually enhance everything that we produce in print. So, and I think that's valuable, especially for the younger generation, and they're all about the, you know, 21st century news, but I think everybody really loves the print. Absolutely.
Vianna, thanks for chatting. We'll be taking a walk out to check out the Formula car. They are unveiling the 2007-2008 model in just a few moments out in Simone Square, so we'll be checking that out.
Great. Sounds exciting. Can't wait to see it.
Well, Vianna, I don't know if you've ever been to Formula car unveiling. Is this your first?
This is my first.
What do you think?
It's very exciting. There's a pretty good crowd here gathered, and actually we were kind of coming up the walk here, and you could barely see what everybody was looking at until you got right up in here. So, yeah, it's beautiful.
We were promised by Lawrence Litchfield, when I was talking to him for the podcast series earlier this year, tigerization.
Yes. Yes.
Of this year's model.
Yes, he mentioned that, actually. I was actually in another conversation with him, and he mentioned the tiger stripes in that very word. Is that a word?
I think it is now. We've said it about three or four times on the podcast. With the Lawrence Litchfield, project manager of RIT's Formula team here at the unveiling. And, boy, you got a good crowd today for it.
Yes, and things have run wonderfully today. We couldn't be happier with the turnout, the weather, and for the first time ever, I think we've been on time.
And the car looks great, I got to say, because you and I, in our series of podcasts earlier this year, we talked about the tigerization of the car, and there it is, looking beautiful with these tiger stripes.
Yeah, everyone on the team really did a great job. Most people didn't sleep last night, which is a testament to the dedication and commitment of all our team members, and really, we're very proud and very grateful to see the amount of support we have throughout the RIT community.
And absolutely, the weather certainly cooperated for you. When I got up this morning and saw the damp driveway, I thought, uh-oh. But, yeah, we got some hazy sun and perfect for you.
That's right.
Hey, I see over in the distance your predecessor, Anthony Capobianco.
Yes, that is Anthony.
Yeah.
No, I'm surprised you noticed. That's great.
So I'll have to go say hello to Anthony. Maybe we can wave him over here. We'll get Anthony Capobianco. He was the project manager last year, maybe for a couple of years?
That's correct. Last year and the year before last.
Here's Anthony Capobianco, last year's project manager.
Hello.
What do you think of this year's car?
Oh, it's everything that we always wanted to do. All in one package. Really good car. Beautiful job. It's fantastic. So.
And for both of you guys, one of the great things I know from covering the Formula car in years past is at this event, you get alumni, Formula alumni, who come back to check out the latest version of the Formula car. That's just fantastic, the support.
Oh, it's wonderful to see the level of support, both, you know, it's not just last year's alumni and year before that, but, you know, 4 and 5 years in the past, and even beyond that, 10 years or so. It's really wonderful.
Oh, yeah, no, it's really great. I mean, I've been kind of watching it all throughout the year. It's my first year as an alumni coming back, so it was it's a fantastic thing to see these guys continue on and, you know, just carry the tradition, and I'm just real proud of them. I mean, it's a fantastic car. Looks great. So.
And, Anthony, I hope as someone who's no longer in Rochester, correct? You're working outside of Rochester.
Yeah, I'm working right in Syracuse, close by, so I take, weekly trips out here to check up on these guys, make sure they're doing all right.
But I was going to say, I hope you've been following brand new thing we started this year, which was the podcast, Studio 86 Road to Detroit podcast.
That's
and
cool.
We did four. This will be kind of a little segment on a fifth now with the Formula team. So I hope you've been listening and following along.
Yeah, no, I have. I've been following all the way straight through, and I always will.
All right, guys. Well, congratulations on another fantastic car. Good luck in Detroit coming up.
Thank you for coming.
And with Alan Nye now, who is the Formula team advisor. Dr.
Yes,
Alan Nye, professor of mechanical engineering, and we're still here at the Innovation and Creativity Festival, Imagine RIT. Innovation and Creativity Festival. What do you think of this year's car?
Oh, it's fantastic. I've been the advisor of the Formula team as long as there's been a Formula team. This is our 16th car, and this is literally the best car we've ever done. I'm very optimistic about our chances at the competitions.
And how about this team this year? I know I've had a good opportunity to talk with Lawrence quite a bit this year, and it seems like a fantastic team.
Yeah, they're very well organized. Lawrence has done a great job of keeping everybody on task and following the timeline. This, again, was the earliest we've ever had a car completed, so we've got more testing in on this than we ever have on a car before a competition. So, again, that's allowed us to tweak some things, find some areas that needed some improvement, and make those changes so that I'm, again, really optimistic about what was going to happen.
And how about getting the opportunity this year for the first time to unveil at such a festival as this? I mean, it's always a crowd in years past that you draw, but kind of special being a part of this festival, too.
Yeah, as soon as President Dessler announced that there was going to be this festival, and it was right about the time we would normally unveil, it was obvious that this should happen here. And, you know, we feel at least that this is kind of one of the highlights of the whole festival. It really does show what innovation and creativity, how they combine with engineering and industrial design, and students from all over campus are involved in this. So it's a great multidisciplinary, creative, innovative project.
Absolutely. Well, congratulations, Alan. Good to talk to you.
Thanks, Mike.
With Ryan Baldy now, who's one of the main drivers of this year's team. Ryan, great rollout.
Yes, it was. We had a little bit of a scare with the weather. Thought it was gonna not cooperate, but it turned out to be in another beautiful spring day in Rochester, New York.
Absolutely. Now, are you a senior?
I'm a fourth year.
Fourth year. So you've probably been on the team since freshman year?
Yes, since my first weekend here at RIT.
Great. So, you know, looking back now, this would be your fourth car that you've worked on. Technically, it's probably the best.
Yes, it is the lightest. It's the fastest. Every year, you know, they get a little lighter, a little faster. So it's always a thrill to drive the new car for the first time, you know, to see what your 9 months of labor has produced.
And at risk of overstating, because I mentioned it when I was talking with Lawrence and Dr. Nye earlier, but the tiger stripes look great.
Yes, they do. Dr. Dessler wanted us to tigerize the car. So we hooked up with some industrial design and some art students. They really did quite a great job.
And one of you guys did the primarily responsible for the tigerization?
This is Jay right here.
What's your name?
Jason.
It's the first time we've had you on the podcast. We've been doing a series all year with these guys. I don't think we had you before, though. So tell us about coming up with the Tigerization.
Well, we wanted to just keep something simple that didn't really detract and just went with the theme of the car and just goes with the whole fast and cool look.
Now, are you an engineer who dabbles in design, or are you a designer by trade?
Designer, dabbling in engineering.
As long as you guys are here, let's get your names.
Ed Gliss.
I'm Matt Smith, mechanical engineer.
I'm Tim Monahan, also mechanical engineer.
All right, well, great. Congratulations. Hopefully somebody's going to fire this baby up for us. Maybe it's going to be Vienna.
I'll do it. I'll hop right in there.
Brian Baldy's got the key. So you're going to fire up this Tiger.
Should I rev it up?
Yeah. Let's. If you could maybe give us a few revs. All right. And here's John Picard of the Formula team, who had the great fortune of driving the car in this morning here for the unveiling at the Imagine RIT Innovation and Creativity Festival. How did it handle, John?
I was very, very happy with how it handled. The car's very well balanced. The car's been done for about a month now, so we've had quite a fair amount of time to sort it out and get all the bugs worked out of it. So it was very, very well today.
And tell me, how did you happen to have the good fortune of driving the car in today for this rollout?
As the chief engineer, part of the tradition is that they will drive at unveiling, so that is why I was driving the car today.
You'll get some, as one of the co-drivers, along with Ryan this year, you'll definitely get some good driving time in at Detroit.
Yes, we'll be driving at Detroit. We actually have five different drivers to be able to compete in all the events. Feel very confident about the car and the team as a whole, and very happy with how it handled today.
Great. And I understand that in Detroit, your car number has to do with last year's finish?
Yes, that's correct. If the number on the car is under 10, that is how we have finished last year. Today, the car is wearing number 7, and when we travel to Germany in August, the car will be wearing the number 5.
And how critical is that strategically? Is it status, or does being a top 10 starter help you out?
It helps a lot as far as status, but also the car's quite a bit smaller this year, too, so just fitting a single-digit number was helped us out that way. I don't know if we could have fit a 2- or a 3-digit number on the car this year.
So for design purposes as well, making the car look good.
Yes, it's today's the only day it's a show car. The rest of the year, it's a race car.
John, thanks a lot, and congratulations on the rollout. Good luck in Detroit.
Thank you, Mike.
Vienna back in the field house once again, and we have a young visitor here who wants to talk on the podcast. What's your name?
Zaya McCoy.
And is this your sister? Raja. Are you sisters?
Yep.
And what's your name?
My name is Nolan Bopper.
So you guys are just arriving.
Mm-hmm. So we brought them out today to the campus to enjoy all the festivities that they have here today, you know? And they are just wearing me out. Whoa.
Well, you just started. You have a long way to go.
Thank you so much. All right.
Hey, Mike, this looks pretty cool. It's some sort of four-sided screen, and apparently people are standing underneath, and you go underneath this thing. You want to check it out?
Yeah, let's check it out.
All right, let's go. We are ducking underneath this thing here. All right. Here we go.
Knock the thing over.
Controlling all four walls or just this one?
Now, I think we're going to be speaking with a student named Evan, who I guess has been sort of in control of this experiment or this exhibit today.
Very cool being in here, I must say, while we're waiting for Evan.
People are working on it.
Pretty cool being in here.
Some sort of equation on one wall, some sort of molecular structure spinning on another wall. I'm Vienna with University News. This is Mike Safran, and we wanted to talk to you about your project. Tell us a little bit about your project and why are we in here? What is this?
Yeah. I was working on this project for Frontiers of Science. It's for the Collaboratorium. And basically what we're doing is we created content for an immersive cube that we have located in the basement of the library and allows us to use several different methods to interact with it and allows you to get a better understanding of how science works.
Okay. The images that are being projected, where's that all coming from?
In the portable cube, there's four projectors on tripods out at the corners of our exhibit. But in the actual classroom, there's short throw projectors mounted at the bottom of the screens that allow it to be projected up, and you don't end up having anything in front. So you can stand in front of your content but never block it.
Excellent. Yeah, I see that right now as I'm sort of standing in front of the screen waving my hand, and it's great. That's great. I also noticed that there's a little orange ribbon hanging on your exhibit. Did you win some sort of award for this?
Yes, we won the award from Paychex. Okay. They really liked our carbon nanotube exhibit that we had that allows you to explore a nanotube and fly through it.
Well, congratulations on that. Let's get your partner's name in here. You're also part of this exhibit, right?
Hi, I'm Adam Weil.
What major are you guys?
I'm a mechanical engineer.
I'm IT.
Great. Great collaboration there on this. Congratulations on a great exhibit.
Thank you.
We scared all the little kids away when we came in here.
With the microphone. You'd think they'd love to do the microphone. Most kids flock to the microphone.
They just like the Wiimote.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I was hoping those kids would stay and we'd talk to them. Hey, we ran into Marcia Morphy of University News.
Hi.
And where else but the hot dog making stand? This must have a real name, though. I don't want to, give them hot dog robotic assembler.
Assembler, right. And I had a hot dog today in honor of Hot Dog City, yes.
From the hot dog robotic assembler?
Not from here, grilled outside, but these look equally wonderful, don't they?
Are they actually giving hot dogs? They are.
Yes,
they're giving
them. And actually, you know what? Because I see that they're putting like a pudding with it and everything, so they're doing like a little snack thing. And this lady has one, so I'm wondering if we can grab her. I mean, I'm watching this thing. It's pretty cool.
Yes.
All right, let's see if we can't get this.
Wow.
Hey, we'd love your reaction to the hot dog robotic assembler, especially after you take a bite. But what do you think of this even before you take a bite?
It's great. I mean, I've waited for so long for it, but now it's great. A lot of teamwork going on, too.
What are your names, and what brings you to RIT? Are you...
My name is Victoria. My brother goes to school here.
I'm Christina. I'm her sister.
Well, I don't want to force you, but if you'd like to try it, I'd love to know your reaction. Vianna Carvalho joining us.
Am I here to witness the first bite from the hot dog robotic assembler?
See it. Here we go. Simultaneous.
Great.
Worth the wait. Very good. Good. Interesting to watch, no doubt. I'm sure you've already done that.
Now, did the assembly here, did that put the condiments on as well? It did.
Yes.
So you just said, I want a hot dog with ketchup. I prefer mustard myself.
No, I'm a ketchup guy.
Oh, all right. And it does it all. Wow, that's something else.
And it's actually putting the juice boxes on the plate. It's putting the pudding on the plate.
That's something else.
It's doing the whole thing. That's great. That's great.
Well, thanks for coming out.
Thank you. Enjoy.
That is so cute.
Hey, Vianna, look who's over here. It's our buddies.
Jared Lyon and Brenda Monahan.
Our buddies from Building 86, the University Publications exhibit. Jared Lyon, how's it going, buddy?
It's going good. We've got a lot of people showing up today.
What are you guys exhibiting today?
How we've switched over to green printing.
And actually, we
News and Events, which you do, you know that we've switched. Where's News and Events? Over there. It's 100% recycled paper now. Just we're covering all the different publications we do and how they're recycled and saving trees.
That was maybe 3, 4, or 5 issues ago. And, I got to give credit here. Brenda Monahan was kind of the one who spearheaded News and Events switching over to 100% recycled paper.
Oh, yep, I agree. She's good like that. All the projects that are coming in, she's asking clients, hey, would you mind if we recycle or switch over to recycled paper? And sometimes it costs more, but the clients are willing to do it, especially with the new president, and his wife. Just very into environmentalism and sustainability.
I'd actually like to get Brenda in here, but maybe we can... As soon as she's done chatting up these visitors to your booth.
Yeah, she's definitely the knowledgeable one. We have a website, too, that we put together that's just off our University Publications website. And it has, I think there's almost 15 different marks, that different certification programs, FSC, CSA, all these different acronyms. And then there's just there's green e-certification, and that's all on our website.
Hey, let's get Brenda Monahan in here. We were just saying, Brenda, that you really were the one, and Jared seemed to agree with us, that you were the one who spearheaded News and Events move to 100% recycled paper half a dozen issues or so ago.
Yes, and I'm finding today all the people coming up to our table are just so excited about that. Even Dessler came up. He didn't know it was 100% recycled. And a lot of the community is happy that you guys are switching over. A lot of our clients have switched over 10% to 100% recycled paper. So it's good to know we're making an impact, even in a small way.
Great. And as you can, in the news and everything is about being green these days. So it's great that you actually were the one, at least for our department, to really kind of push us in that direction. So.
Yes. Thank you so much, Vianna. It's exciting.
Thank you. Good work here, University Publications.
Thank you.
Good to see your exhibit here at the RIT, Imagine RIT Innovation and Creativity Festival.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Vianna.
Well, it's so much fun and so much to see here at the first Imagine RIT Innovation and Creativity Festival of Vienna that I think we're going to have to break this into a two-part Studio 86.
I think we're going to have to. We have more, so much to say that there's not enough time to say it. So I definitely agree. Two-parter is a must.
So long for now. See you on the second half of Studio 86.
Sounds great.
Tune in next time for another in-depth discussion from Studio 86. Studio 86 is produced by RIT University News Services.